gradually getting further north, actually. Went from there to Bracknell, so from Battersea in London to Bracknell, from Bracknell to Buckingham in North Bucks, right on the north border, and then from Buckingham to Bletchley, Milton Keynes, so come a little bit back towards my roots, only about 13 miles, and then from Bletchley to Bretton. So there's a bee running theme in my geography of where I've travelled. But as a teenager, growing up in Bracknell particularly, I was quite rebellious. And I'd often hear, when I got above my stations at home, my mother say, "Who do you think you are?" I don't know if you can relate to that, the wagging finger of who do you think you are when you started to sort of try to chat back to your mum or dad. And my mum was quite a firm lady, and I wouldn't have done half the things at home that I would have done outside, because she would have not approved. But I was quite rebellious. And we go through a rebellious stage because we're trying to find out who we really are. And the thing that I believe God has given me for us today is, who are we? Who do we think we are? Who do we say we are? And the scripture that came was Ephesians 1, and it was so wonderfully read out to us. And I got three words that came to me from that scripture of who are we? Who do we think we are? Who do we say we are? Because no one has the right to say who you actually are. People will sum you up from who you are and from what they've experienced from you, which is reasonable. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not being judgmental. It's just actually people trying to work out who you really are. But if somebody were to ask you, who are you, how would you respond? I would encourage you to think of these three words. You, from this scripture, I get, we are adopted into God's family. We are adopted children. We are appointed children. Children who are appointed with a purpose. We're not here by accident. Your location now is not an accident, wherever you've travelled from. And then you are thirdly anointed. Anointed with the supernatural powers, the blessings that flow from heaven. That's who we are. That is a summary of who we are. We live in a world where we know it is a mess. And whatever country you live in, it's a pretty messy country. The UK is seen as quite a lovely country to come to be a part of, and in many ways it is. I don't believe it's really ever been a Christian country, unfortunately. I believe it's had the Christian religion banner over it, but it's not really been a Christian country. People after the Second World War, when we were trying to rebuild life and economy and structure and stability, and the West bought in the national health system, the education and the welfare system in the late 40s to rebuild our nation. And people in the 50s were coming from other nations thinking, this is a good, healthy Christian country, thank you. But when they got here, they realized it wasn't as Christian as they thought it was. And they had a shock. And it's because of many things, which I'm not going to go into today, other than the fact that we're in a mess. Our world is in a mess. This nation is in a mess. And we're hoping and praying that the new government will put us back on track. Depends on what political party you sit on, depends what your views are of that. But the reality is, it's in a mess. And this government may do some great things, I don't doubt that for one minute, but they won't do everything that's needed, because the world has not got what is needed to put any nation back on track. Only God has the power to do that. Amen? And it's God has chosen us to be his adopted, appointed, and anointed children. Just give you one example of the mess our nation is in. For those that don't know, all of our children, our birth children, have grown up. They're in their late 20s and early 30s, and we foster. So it's a passion of ours about fostering. There are 83,840 children in England in care. In the whole of the UK, there are 107,000 and something. Only 81,000 or so are in homes. There's 2,000 that haven't got a home. That's just one area of the mess our nation is in. There are many others, mental health, illnesses of different kinds, relationship breakdowns, housing stock. The list is endless, and I would not want to be Prime Minister in a time such as this. And I believe it is because we've lost sight of God and who God is. And we're in a time of identity crisis. And the world does not know who it really is. Individuals don't know who they really are. And they're following dreams and passions that actually is taking them down a rabbit hole of being even more lost. Because we do push God out of our public arena, because the faith of the English particularly is private and personal. And we're starting to reclaim that public freedom to speak about Jesus. Whereas before, because it was a Christian country, everybody was a Christian. Soon as you birthed into the world, came out of the womb, you were a Christian, because we were a Christian nation. But now what's happening is we've been had that religious liberation since the Reformation, that actually we can choose not to be a Christian, because Christian isn't about religion, rules, regulations. It's about a relationship. And we've got to step out of that rules, rituals and regulations to discover what does it mean to have a relationship with the living God. And it's about being an adopted child. You choose to accept the adoption. And that's why I touched on children in care, because most of those children don't get adopted. They go through the care system and they lose their identity. But it's not just them. It's a large portion of the world, let alone this nation. I want to share a little picture of two children. First of all, the parents had one child, and that child got about 4 years old, and mum and dad discovered that mum was pregnant, expecting their second child. And the second child was born, and the older child, now hitting 5 years old, saying, "Mum, I want to spend private time, quiet time with my new sibling, my new sister." And mum and dad were a bit concerned because they seemed to be obsessed or insistent that they wanted to spend quiet time without mum and dad with their little sister in their room. In the end, they decided to let it go, but they put a baby monitor in so they could monitor what was going on, making sure the child hadn't become jealous and was going to harm its sibling. As they listened, they heard the son, the boy, 5-year-old, climb into the cot and get alongside his baby sister and whisper in her ear. And he said this, "Tell me what God is like. I'm beginning to forget." You know, that's what happens. We begin, as we grow to be mature adults, we forget that we are adopted, we are appointed, we are anointed children of the Almighty God. For those of you who remember Alice Cooper, that's his stage name, his actual name is Alex Cooper, he's a rock star, a heavy rock star, bit old now, going back a few years for those of us that do remember him. He said this, he's a Christian, he said this, "Drinking beer is easy. Trashing your hotel room is easy. But being a Christian, that's a tough call. That's rebellion. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll is easy. True Christianity, that's rebellion." We are a rebellious people. It's inbuilt in us. What are we rebelling against? I hope and pray we're rebelling against what this world is trying to influence us on. There's huge problems in our society. There is more needs in our society than ever before. There is more provision in our society than ever before. The UK is one of the greatest countries that provides so much for so many people. But the needs are increasing. The problems are increasing. The needs of help continue to increase. We are not solving all the problems. We are barely making a dent. You know the starfish story? The little boy, he's picking up the starfish. Thousands are being washed upon the shore. He's picking up one starfish and he's throwing it back into the sea. You know the story? And this old man's walking along the promenade and he sees in the distance this little boy who's picking up these starfish one at a time and lobbing them back into the sea. But as every time he throws one in there, 1,000 more are washed upon the shore. And the old man decides to go and chat to this little boy who's wasting his time. He's not making a difference at all in the world as he throws another starfish. And he says to the boy, he says, son, what are you doing? He goes, I'm saving the starfish, sir. I'm just saving all these starfish. He goes, son, every time you throw one in there, 1,000 gets washed upon the shore. He says, well, I've got to keep doing it because I'm making a difference to that one. You know? We can make all the difference in the world. Some of these provisions are making all the difference in the world, but thousands more are coming forward. Why? Because we've got an identity crisis. People don't know who they really are. Have you recognized, do you know that you're an adopted child of God? It said in that scripture reading that Rowena read for us, we are predestined for adoption, to sonship, to daughtership, through Jesus Christ, in accordance with God's pleasure. God's pleasure is that you accept it. Adoption means you are chosen, you are picked. I love dogs. I don't know if you love dogs. Sorry if you don't love dogs. I love dogs. I've got two dogs as pets. I've had dogs all my life. And as an adult, every time I've gone to pick a dog, I've looked for the runt of the litter. I want the one that people don't want. It's easy to go and get a pedigree dog if you're willing to pay that kind of money. Doesn't float my boat at all, personally. But I love dogs anyway, whether they're pedigrees or mongrels. But I look for the one that nobody wants, because that's the one I want. We picked up this one, our latest dog, who's 9 years old, nearly. She's a Malamute, an Alaskan Malamute, not a full breed. She's something else, I don't know what she is. But when we picked her up, she was a gangly, ugly-looking thing. She really was. We sort of rescued her from some dodgy people, so we did have to pay some money to release her. But anyway, we picked her. She was a gangly, ugly-looking dog. And she was, I don't know why we chose her, other than the fact that we wanted to save her. But now she's the most beautiful. We walked down the street and people go, wow, your dog is beautiful. And you know what? It opens up conversations. And as a result of that, I've had a lady start coming to our church, and the Lord touched her last week for the first time. Her son comes to our church when he's visiting the area. He used to come to the youth group 20 years ago. He comes to our church every time he comes to visit his mum. And he said to me, Brian, I've been praying for my mum for years. You rock up, and now she's coming to church. And, you know, God will make a difference if we recognize how precious we are to him, because he chose us right where we were. Right where we were. He chose us. He's the perfect parent, and he chooses perfectly. He's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, everyone is created by God, but not everyone is a child of God. Everyone is created by God, but not everybody is a child of God. I believe that God created us. It says in Genesis, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them, Genesis 1:27. But it says in 1 John 3, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, verse 2 of chapter 3 of 1 John, 1 John. Now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. If you've ever watched Toy Story, I love Toy Story, it's one of my favourite films. What's on the bottom of Andy's shoe? Woody's shoe? I'm giving it away now. Andy, the owner's mark is on Andy's, on Woody's boot. Getting it all around the wrong way now. Woody is the toy the toy doll cowboy, and Andy is the boy that owns the toys. And he writes his own name on the boot of Woody to make sure that Woody knows who he is. We know who we are because of our identity is in God through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our salvation. And being adopted is the most precious thing. In adoption, you have to go through a whole rigmarole. We went through a process of adopting a child. And crumbs, you have to be scrutinized hugely, right? If you think you're growing up, bringing up children is a challenge, you get so challenged when you foster, let alone adopt. And you have to tick every single box and make sure you are the right parent. God did what no other religion did and will do, because they can't do it. He stepped into our shoes and he took our place. And so that when he died and rose again and ascended into heaven, that he would come and live in us. There's not another God in the world that you could read on that says, I'm going to be in you and you are going to be in me. That's how much I know you, because you're in me and I'm in you. 1 John 4:4. He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Our identity, our adoption of sonship and daughtership, we are citizens of heaven. When you, the scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. Seek ye first the kingdom, because your citizenship is in heaven. Every one of us here, and everyone in my church, and in every church, we're foreigners. We're all foreigners. In that, we're the same. This is not our land. This is God's creation. Our land is the kingdom of heaven. Seek ye first your citizenship, which is in the kingdom of heaven, and righteousness is to be characterized by your relationship in God. So righteousness is being characterized, letting your character become the example of Jesus Christ. And then all this other stuff, God knows what you need. He provides it. It's good to pray. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You'll know your citizenship and you'll be characterized in your relationship because of your relationship. We're all foreigners. We have our identity in God. Ephesians 1:14 says, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. That's God's affirmation that you are his, which is a down payment, which is a deposit guaranteeing the fullness of our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. We are adopted, we are appointed. We are adopted, we're chosen by God, not because of what we do or what we've achieved, but just because he loves us. Just the way we are, and loves us too much to leave us this way. And we're appointed as ambassadors. We have a purpose. God has a plan for each and every one of us. You and I are in the family of God. He's chosen to involve us, to partner with us in his mission of redemption for the whole world. Isn't that amazing? You know, we hold the keys to the kingdom of heaven. You hold the answers to the problems in society. Because you have the keys to the kingdom. You can unlock. You don't convert anybody. We're not converters. We are ambassadors. We're channels. We're agents. We're partners in what God is doing. We're the ones to live and breathe God's good news wherever we are. We're appointed for a purpose. Now, if you're going, yeah, but I don't know what my purpose is. I've been waiting for God to reveal to me. My guess is, you're either, God has already told you and you're doing it, right? Or you're not listening. I wrestled with God before I became a youth worker. I was a former youth worker before I became a pastor. And I remember fighting with God in the back of one of my big trucks. I used to, cut a long story, one of the jobs I had, I used to drive big trucks and deliver to universities in Oxford. And it was a milk trolley, and I used to get really angry. And I was fighting with God in the back of the truck one day. God, why am I still doing this wretched job? Oh, you know, I love youth work. I love serving the church. And I just heard, "You're not ready, Brian. You're not ready. I've got a plan for you, but you are where I want you for now." Whatever you're doing, take that as an opportunity of preparation for the next steps. Because God's got a great plan, and it may just be right where you are. And it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8 and 10 to 10, "With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ." If you're waiting for God to give you the next direction, keep waiting, right? Keep waiting, because he's going to give it to you, but you are where you are for a time such as this. Because the people around you or what God is doing, is often when we look back, now I understand. We were in a church, a church where I became a Christian. My wife was attending a Methodist United Reformed Church, which became a Baptist church later on. And we were struggling with this church. Something had gone on, a group of people were very nasty to the former minister there, and we were really going, this is not Christian love. So we started attending another church. We were really struggling, and we attended this church, a free evangelical church, wonderful church, absolutely wonderful. We fell in love with this church, and the pastor took me under his wings. He started nurturing me and discipling me, and after a while, because I was the youth worker in this other church, he said, "Brian, you've got to decide where you're going to be. Are you with us or are you with that church? It's not good to live in two camps, two houses." And as much as my family wanted to stay in that church, and as much as I loved that church, for some unknown reason, unbeknown to me at that time, God said, "No, I've put you in this church, this United Reformed Methodist Church. You're there. That's where I want you." And I couldn't understand it. And I said to the pastor, "I don't understand it, but I can't leave." He said, "Why not?" I said, "I don't know. It's really breaking my heart." So I stayed in the church that God told me is, and it only came apparent about 2 or 3 years later why I was there. And it made sense then. You've just got to trust in what God is saying to you at a time. And if you're not hearing from God, because I didn't hear God say to me, "Go to this church, this free evangelical church." He brought me into the other church, and I was doing stuff with there. The church grew, and it was blessed, and we had a wonderful time. I want to remind you about what it means to be chosen, what it means to be appointed by this song that we're going to sing, listen to. It's from the group Casting Crowns. It's a wonderful song. I've been playing it constantly. I've had it played in my church where I lead, and it's really touching people's hearts. If you've never heard this song, I want to encourage you to listen to this song. It will help you understand a bit more about who you are. Is this one going to work? Right, let's give it a go and see what happens. Get the gist of the song. I love that song because it does remind me a lot about me. I'm not a qualified person. I am. I've got a couple of degrees now, but as I got chucked out of school, I got chucked out of home. My mum chucked me out. I've been homeless twice. I was homeless as a young teenager. I was homeless as a married man with two children. I've made some really big errors in life. I could hardly read when I left school. In fact, when I started reading bedtime stories to my children, I struggled. I really struggled. I needed simple books because my reading ability was so, so low. But then I wasn't looking for Jesus. My wife had become a Christian, and I blame her for where I am. So when she said, "I'm busy," I said, "It's your fault. You prayed for my salvation." Okay? she was praying with a group of ladies for 3 years for my salvation. And God spoke to me, and I responded. He doesn't necessarily call the qualified, but he will qualify the called. I've been to theological college and all that kind of jazz since. My point is this: we are called to be discipleship makers, whole life missional discipleship makers. If we let Jesus disciple us, we will land up discipling others, and we will see groups of disciples grow. We are appointed to get closer to Jesus first and foremost. We are appointed to grow in the Word of God. We are appointed to grow as a church family. We are appointed to be where we are, to share the good news, to be ambassadors. And you know what happens from there? An anointing happens. I came to faith in November 1995. I was filled with the Holy Spirit in 1996 because I just knelt down on the floor and went, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And in my being, there was a lot of stuff that was not good in my life. And I needed Jesus. I just wanted Jesus. I believed the Word of God. I believed that I was adopted. I believed that I was appointed for a purpose. I was growing in my youth work God put me in a youth group with Christians of teenagers, 15, 16 years. Sit down, please. 15, 16 years old. And they knew the Bible better than me. I felt well ill-equipped. So I hung out with them. If that's where you are, just hang out with Jesus. Hang out with Jesus fanatics. People that are passionate about Jesus. And you'll get filled with the Holy Spirit. I hung out with a bunch of people. And I just knelt down and I went, Jesus, more of you. You know, all that stuff in my life. Lumps of rotten stuff. In my head and in my heart, things I'd seen, things I'd allowed myself to be involved in, started to not be the focus of my life. And it seemed to take forever because I was still desiring things I shouldn't desire. I was still getting involved in things I shouldn't get involved with. But the more I allowed myself to be ministered by Jesus, the more this stuff... sit down, Nova. Thank you. The more the stuff that I didn't need in my life started to fall apart. The more I made room for Jesus in my life, the anointing starts to come. I'm not super spiritual. I'm not supersonic. People ask me, how does your church grow? I say, I don't know. God seems to be doing the growing. I just be doing the loving. I just love Jesus and I want to love people back. But sometimes it's tough because people want you to tick boxes. People want you to be what they want you to be. But you just need to be saturated in the presence of God, in His Word, and allow God to minister to you. Nova, go to the back, please. Thank you. Go to the back. No, go to the back. You can't resist. Go to the back, otherwise we'll take you to the car. One, two. Thank you. We can't resist. We can't resist sometimes the power of God. If we saturate ourselves, He undoes things in our life that nobody else can undo. The world cannot solve our problems in any way like God can. And eventually, all this stuff gets pushed away. We may not be completely purified. We may not be completely set free from some of the marks of sin in our lives. But God's desire is when He comes for the final time, we will be purified. And all this stuff that we are bogged down with today, all this stuff that we have to deal with, will be no more. No more pain, no more suffering. The anointing starts the minute we open ourselves up to the mystery and the wonder of His glory. He doesn't choose us because we are right up here. He chooses us when we are desperately on our knees crying out for more of Him. We are adopted. We are appointed. We are anointed. We are a royal priesthood, the Bible teaches us. The priesthood of all believers. Pastors are not greater than any member of their congregation. There is no hierarchy in God's house. We all have different gifts, different abilities, but we are all gifted. We've all got abilities. The most powerful thing we can do is get closer to Him. Somebody once said, my grandfather walked 10 miles to work every day. My father walked 5 miles. I drive a Cadillac as a result. My son will drive a Mercedes. My grandson will drive a Ferrari. But his son, my great-grandson, will be walking again. Why is that? Tough times create strong men. Strong men create easy times. Easy times create weak men. Weak men create tough times. Many will not understand this. But we got to question ourselves, what are we raising? England is a comfortable country to live in. The whole of the West is pretty comfortable to live in. And I think as a result of that, people's resilience has gone down. And the church needs to wake up and realize that unless you've got the keys to the kingdom, whether you live in a comfortable world or a war-torn world, if you haven't got the keys of the kingdom, you're going to drown in all of that stuff. And God wants to take all of that rottenness that we have been infected with away. Ezekiel 47 says, there's a river from the temple. The water was trickling. In another version, it's gushing. It comes from the temple of God. The same word in Hebrew is trickling and gushing. The water comes out, and it really is the Spirit of God moving by the Word of God into all the nations. And it starts to rise up in our feet. And it says in the scriptures in Ezekiel 47 that the river goes above the knees, goes above the waist, it goes above the head until we can't get over through the river because it's so deep. And it's talking about the Spirit of the living God coming and gushing all over the nation. That's the church, people. That's you and me, the adopted, the appointed, the anointed, filled with the glory of God, seeing people touched, transformed. So call on the Lord, Jeremiah 33:3. Call on him right where you are. Do you want more of him? Then he will crown you with his splendor. Isaiah 62, verse 3. You are the precious jewel in his crown. That's how precious you are. You're a jewel in his crown. So where are you? As we draw to an end, and I invite Bob just to come back to the music stand. Where are you? How much of God do you want? Who are you? You are the adopted child of the living God. You are the appointed one right where you are with a purpose, and God has a plan for you. You are anointed. Naturally, we receive the supernatural because all the blessings of heaven have been opened for us to help fight the battles we're in. We're just going to take a few moments to respond to that. Maybe you're feeling half empty. Maybe you're feeling that you're not feeling anointed. Maybe you've never been in that place of adoption where you've received your inheritance as an adopted child of God. Wherever you are, God will fill you afresh. He will lift the lid of your cup, of your spiritual cup, and he will pour more into your life.